We long for that time, Lord, when we'll see you face to face and look upon you and see you as you are. What a day that's going to bring. Anoint in your word this morning. In your sweet name we ask it, amen. Well, it's good to be here again. Once we had agreed with Brother Jesse to go ahead and come out, about several weeks later, the devil really began to fight in several areas and beyond our circumstances and control. And the devil didn't want us to be here today. And my wife asked me several times, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to make it? We have one healer. We're going to forget what the devil said, and we're just going to go and enjoy the fellowship. Now, I'm a listener. I really enjoy pastors that can sit down and feed me the Word of God. I need that. Amen. We all need God's precious Word. And I guess Glenn's son, we've known them for quite a while, kind of short on his notes. I think at the time we came out to minister one time and studying the notes on the airplane, I got here and began to realize I left all my notes on the airplane. And when I spoke one time, and Brother Hill walked up and said, you know, he realized what I had done. He said, that's the best sermon that I've ever heard you preach. And good just to trust in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and what he once said and done. God is good, is he not? We're going to Isaiah 45 this morning, reading verses 22 and 23. For those that were kind of worrying, I left my cane under the seat, so I'm not going to punch you as you walk by. And I don't realize when I come out here, I couldn't hardly walk when I got off the plane. And Kevin and Julie and my wife and I had a word of prayer this morning and really got anointed in prayer and have no pain at all. God's good. In verse 22, Jesus, the word said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Two words in this portion of scripture that really stand out to me as I read it over and over again. And it's the word look and the word salvation. We're looking for many things in this life, I guess. And we're told in Hebrews that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto him. There was a time that the Lord ministered on eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and the word said that many walked away from him and never walked again with him anymore. He turned around, looked at Peter, said, well, will you go away also? And I love Peter's answer, well, where else could we go? Where else could we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I'm glad for the word. It will build you up. It will give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. The word of God will set you free. Nothing else can do that. And I like there in James 4 and 8, he said, well, no, draw nigh unto him and he will draw nigh unto you. Draw nigh to God. You feel a little down this morning, discouraged, sick and afflicted, draw nigh to God. He's there. God said, call out to me and I will answer thee. This is God. His word will never go back to him void. I'm glad for that. It will accomplish that which he has sent it out to do. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the word says his word shall live and abide forevermore. There's something you can trust in this morning. God's precious word. Ruth must have seen that. Look for a hope. Your God's my God, your people my people. David must have seen that. He believed in it. When God took his son, well, I can't bring him back, but I'm going to go to him. Daniel must have seen something in his relationship with God. He spoke of that time when the dust will bring forth God's people. They will arise from the dead. Daniel looked and saw hope in God. I think of Abraham. What a precious man of God. Staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Giving glory to God, knowing what God had promised, he was able also to perform. That's God. What about you, Abraham? Well, I'm just a pilgrim passing through. Telling a little brother a little while ago, and then I feel I'm getting close to that my shoes are about ready to turn loose. I believe Jesus is about ready to appear on the scene. Brother mentioned last night, this world is crazy, and it is. It's crazy. And it's not going to get better until the day that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords appears on the scene. Amen. We pray and we want God to move. We need God in our lives. We need him in our families. We need him in our homes. There's only one hope that we have, and I believe it's in this word. Jesus said, well, look unto me. Look unto me. You're sick this morning? Look unto him. You need comfort this morning? Look unto him. You need peace this morning? Look unto him. This world is not going to give you anything surrounded around peace. And it's filled with hate, bitterness, anger. I've never seen a time in this life when our nation had been so divided as has been today. And I believe, you know, the word said, when you see all of these things taking place, lift up your head and rejoice. You know that your redemption draweth nigh. I'm ready for him. I wish he would come today. And I get up in the morning and say, well, God, is this the day? Will you come today? I believe that you will. But if you don't come today, I'm going to look for you tomorrow. If it don't happen tomorrow, I'm going to keep looking for you. And I don't get discouraged by what I see. I don't like some of the things I see in our country today. It doesn't discourage me. It makes me to rejoice because I know that something is just about ready to take place. I worked with a prisoner one time in the federal prison, working there for 20 years, and he was unsaved. And I said, well, you need to be saved. And he said, well, I don't want to be saved. And he said, I'm crazy and I'm stupid. And I said, well, yeah, you're crazy and you're stupid. You have to realize in prison, you talk prison talk to a point. They talk bluntly. That's the only language that they know. And they said, you know, I'm not saved, but I feel here that something is just about ready to take place in the United States of America, and I don't like it. Even the sinner realizes that something's happening. How much more the child of God? We have to be up and about redeeming the business because, listen, our redemption draweth nigh. The fields are ready for harvest, but the labors are few. We need to be up and about the master's business. When I look unto Christ and say, we need to do that over and over again. Look unto him. And where else can you go? There's no one that can offer you what Jesus Christ has to offer. And when I look at him, and I began to realize, I said, first of all, you have to admit that he is God. Over and over in the Old Testament, God will said, listen, I'm God, besides me, there is none other. Get into idol worshiping if you want to do that, and what have you, go on into this, and that's fine. But listen, there's only one God. I am God, besides me, there is none other. Admit that he is God. It's hard for people to do that. But say, listen, one of these days, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'm glad for him this morning. But I realize that all of my hope, what I long for, what I hope for in this life. Now, listen, remember when John saw him coming, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. John saw him as he is, the Son of God that gives life and that more abundantly. I've learned to enjoy that. And we've been along the way for quite a while, nearly 50 years, but I learned to enjoy that. I have life, but I have it more abundantly. when I get in deeper in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm free this morning. The world didn't give me that. I'm free this morning. I have a hope this morning that lies in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Paul wrote, I believe it's in Galatia, and he spoke of my expectation and my hope. What is your expectation this morning? What is your hope this morning? We have granddaughters that are going through college and grandson that's getting ready to go to college, and nothing wrong with that, but we need those kind of education. But what is my hope this morning? Somebody said, well, you're tired and weary. Yes, physically. Sometimes you see saints that are battle-scarred. But Saint, listen, my expectation this morning, and I'm looking up, my expectation that suddenly I'm going to hear the trumpet sound, I'm going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and I'm going to be in His presence, hallelujah, forever. That's my expectation this morning. I expect my kids to go on with God, but first of all, my responsibility is right here. My life has to come into conformity with the Word of God and what it says and what it has to offer. Paul said that I may know Him. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. I want to be greater acquainted with Christ. Remember the words of Job, acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Are you at peace this morning? If not, you should be. You should be at peace this morning. Listen, I'm glad God is for me. God is with me. God is in me. He goes before me. He fights every battle that I have. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He's the best friend that I ever had in this life. This, hallelujah, this is Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. But I learned to recognize in this world, saying, listen, my hope doesn't lie in what the world has to offer. My hope lies in one person. And I wonder if Jesus Christ, oh, Father, can I go? Father, let me go. No man knows the day nor the hour when it's going to happen. But say, one of these days, God's going to look at His Son and say, oh, Father, listen. Bring Him home. Are you ready to go this morning? My expectation, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But I have to recognize there is one God in this life for you and I, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There was a young lady that went to a Buddhist temple in Japan. And she just sat in the back and was listening to what was going on. And there, I guess they called them priests. I don't know what they term them. Began to talk and about people and about the Buddha judgment and the torments of Buddha in the future. Just on and on and on. Finally, he got towards the end of what he was talking about, and little by little, one of the congregation began to lift up their hands and began to cry out, oh, Buddha, save us. Oh, Buddha, save us. Listen, there's only redemption in one person this morning. That's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. People are looking to everything in this life for some way to get out of it. Say, listen, there's only one way of redemption. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I love Him this morning. I wish He would come today. But I have to admit that He is God. Besides Him, there is none other. When I walk into His presence, and we're trying more and more, and God's beginning to bless in this area. But when I come before Him, address Him properly, give Him the worship and praise that He deserves. We worship everything in this life conceivable. The Word said that God inhabits the praises of His people. He desires praise and worship for you and I. But when I stand Him, say, there needs to be a preparation of the heart when I come before Him. God, I'm coming before a holy, compassionate, gentle, tender Savior. I'm coming before You. You're a man that without sin, You know no sin. But yet You became sin for me that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Approach Him in a proper attitude. We had somebody come in the church one time and I rushed him out quick. Something they didn't like about that, and we're still praying for the individual. As she got to the door, going down the hallway, getting ready to go out, when GD this and GD this and GD that and GD this, I said, get out of this church. You're not welcome here. We need to learn to respect God and worship Him for who He is. The Word says, stand in awe of Him. Stand in awe of the Word of God, my blessed Savior. This is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. This represents Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior. Do we really take time to just stop and give Him the praise and offering that He deserves? I tell our congregation sometime, you know, we come in and sing a couple of songs, prayer requests, take an offering, praise 20 or 30 minutes, amen, go home. Let's break the cycle. We get in such a pattern of doing things over and over again, month after month after month, and where's God? Does the enemy have to come around and say, well, where is your God? Listen, He's here this morning. He's walking among us this morning. Jesus said, well, call out to me and I will answer thee. He's here this morning. He wants to pour out His blessings on you this morning. Say, open your, God said to Moses, open your mouth and I'll fill it. Just give God the praise that He deserves this morning. Hallelujah. Respect Him for who He is this morning. He's a holy God. One of these days I'm going to bow before that man and see Him face to face. Oh, God, listen, You're the one that provided all of this for me. Unconceivable what lies ahead for the child of God. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, my heart cries out, oh, more, 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 more. Like Elisha, I want a double portion. God, I want more of You. I'm not satisfied. I'm glad for the good will, the acceptable, but I want the perfect will of God for our lives. Come into His presence and give Him the praise that He deserves. As I come before Him, some ask the question, well, you know, when I ask something from God, what if He doesn't answer? What if He doesn't? God answers in His will and His time and His place. God knows what you need. He works in you and through you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God's not going to let you go under. I like the word says, that I'm in the hands of God. That's what the Old Testament said. God has me in His hands. I'm His this morning. What else could you ask for since I'm His this morning? When all the trials and the testing that I go through, I often think of the Apostle Paul. Oh, listen, all of this is light afflictions compared to the glory that one day is going to be revealed in us. Light afflictions. Light afflictions. We all have our trials and testings. Physical problems. Pray for Don Assel. I believe he was supposed to come. Wanted to come, but they were out to supper Thursday night, and they don't know if he had a light mini stroke or what. He just lost his speech and slurred, and they had to rush him to the hospital. So hold on in prayer. Very precious brother. When I come to Him, I anticipate. When I come to Him, God says, cry out to me, and I will answer thee. His ears are attentive unto the cry of the righteous. But oh God, listen, you don't understand. I'm going under. You don't understand. My hands are holding you up. You're not going under. God, I'm about ready to lose this battle. Well, you don't understand. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm more than conquerors through Him that loved me and gave Himself for me. Saying my victory in conquering is in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. God always causes us to triumph in Christ. I'm not defeated this morning. I have victory in Him. I live each day saying, listen, you can't breathe without God this morning. You realize that? You're nothing without Him. But listen, we're everything in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Like brother mentioned last night, our hopes and dreams. What are we looking for? What am I hoping for? What do I want in this life? What am I working for? And kids keep asking me, well, Daddy, I was here the other day, well, Daddy, when are you going to retire? Huh? What'd you say? I can't hear you. When are you going to retire and give it up? When God calls me home. Saying, listen, we're in a race course this morning. And I feel like Paul, I'm pressing forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, it's not time to quit. It's like it's time to be up and about the master building. Run with patience the race that is placed before us. I never saw retirement in the Word of God. I often think of the children of Israel, 40 years in the wilderness, their shoes never wore out. Isn't that amazing? They had the manna. God provided every need that they possibly would have had during that trip, that journey. And I looked and said, well, God, they're your God. He's your God. I said, oh, well, listen, what's the difference? He's my God. The God that walked with Abraham is my God this morning. All that Paul went through, staggering what he went through physically because of the representative of the Word of God. He calls them light afflictions. Light afflictions. Why should I look to him? What do I expect? When I came to Christ, undone, ugly in sin without Christ, and when I said yes to him, I didn't understand what happened. But as you get into the Word of God, you begin to realize what happened. Christ became my sin offering. He became my peace offering. He became my trespass offering. All of these pointed to Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. This man that died for me, saint, there's atonement only one way, through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And my. Well, hard to keep my feet still. Oh, I love him this morning. Feel like David, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. If God, hallelujah, if God be for you, who can be against you? God took all of my sins and placed them in the sea of forgetfulness. The word says he put them behind his back. He doesn't remember them anymore. David there in Psalm 103, forget not all of his benefits. Don't forget them. First of all, he forgives all thine iniquities. Aren't you glad God is a forgiving God? We have people that something happens a number of years ago, and I prayed, God, well, you know what took place. They were in Phoenix. I said, keep them there and let us enjoy the services here. And lo and behold, one Sunday morning I looked up and here they came. The whole family moved back to Leavenworth and chose our church to attend. I looked out over the congregation and said, I'm to forgive others even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven me. Why, God? Don't worry about why. I still don't understand it, and it seems like there's still a little barrier. Pray for us. So, well, God, if I can do something to all their kids are out of church. All been saved and failed and have no desire for church. I said, God, if I can do something to get these kids in church and yield it to thee, I'm willing. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. I think sometimes that an unforgiving spirit has destroyed so many Christians and churches today. An unforgiving spirit. This young lady came in and said, well, I was speaking in behalf of the church. She said, well, I think you owe this church an apology for what you did and said. And she looked at me and said, words is about this long. I almost spit in my face. Judy, this, I'm getting out. Unforgiving saints, it's like a cancer that will destroy your life. Sometimes we have so many ill feelings against other people, even saints of God. Well, he hurt me. Well, like the man on television, get over it. Get over it. Get over it and go to the next step. God spoke to me one time. He said, now, David, listen. The word said, be still and know that I'm God. You're not listening to me. You've been on this mountain long enough. It's time to go up higher. It's time to go up higher. I don't know about you, but I feel a tugging. I'm just about ready to go up higher. I want to be ready when it comes because God has something special in store for me. I plan to be, by his grace, to be in the bride of Christ when it's all said and done. I want that place. I want our church to have it. I want you to have it. But it's a personal race between you and God. I can't run for anybody else. Run with patience the race that is placed before us and say, grace must go before grace. Grace prepares us for more grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. Say, listen, we're nothing this morning outside of the grace of God bestowed upon our lives. We go from strength to strength, from faith to faith. We're changed from image to image like unto his glorious image. I get to shouting sometime when I'm alone at house and reading that portion there in John. The word said, well, it doth not yet appear what we'll be like. But I know. How do I know? Jesus said, well, look unto me. How do I know? I'm looking unto him saying, he's going to fulfill that. It's not here yet, but I believe it's just around the corner. I'm ready to walk in the door and I'm going to look like him. I'm going to, hallelujah, I'm going to see him as he is this morning. What a glorious hope that we have in Christ. Somebody asked me one time, and you have to forgive me. I got weaknesses in my preaching. But he said, brother, are you the weeping prophet? And I can't help it. I get sitting before the Lord, and all I do is cry. Grace, 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 grace. God, you took a dog like me. And just by saying yes, he made me a son of God. He made me an heir. He made me an heir of God. I can be a joint heir with him, if so be that I learn to suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Saints, it's just around the corner. God's just about ready. Oh, listen, listen. Look at the world today. I'll tell you, if you don't believe Jesus Christ is coming soon, you're blind as a bat. Everything's pointing to that imminent return that suddenly you may be driving down the whole highway and you're going to have a car without a driver. Hallelujah! 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 Oh, listen, I'm ready to go. Listen, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Because I look unto him. He said, look unto me and be saved. Well, I love him this morning. Oh, I'll tell you, God's real. God's real. Nobody can change your life like he can. It makes a difference when you have Christ, but the heart must be prepared as I come and approach him. Moses, take off your shoes. The place where you stand is holy ground. When I come before him, I learn to come in silence and just sit in his presence and first of all, let him speak to me. Then I begin to tell him what I think of him. God so loved that he gave. I can't imagine what Christ went through those last few days of his life what he did for you. The brutality, the cursing, the plucking of the beard, the mockery, bowing the knees before him. At any time, Jesus could have called out for legions of angels to stop it. But he said, not my will, but thine be done. As he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat as it were great drops of blood. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But, oh, Father, not my will. God sent him for one purpose, to give his life as the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. Oh, what a marvel. Why, I like that song, why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? The love that he has for the human heart, the human soul, surpasses my understanding. All that the world does, all that it goes through, we would almost, in a nation today, almost have to make Sodom's Gomorrah blush because of what we see in our country today. But you know the simple fact, God still loves them. He hates the sinner, said the sin, but he loves the sinner. God still loves them. I'm glad this is a whosoever will. The pastor got on the airwaves and he sent out a book. Part of his question and answer session. And he quoted the verse, well, no man's able to pluck me out of my Father's hands. And the Lord said, well, all that the Father had given me, no one's able to pluck them out of my hand. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And big bold letters right under the verse that he wrote. He said, well, that's okay, but you can pluck yourself out. How sad, how sad. Saints, my redemption depends on Jesus Christ and no other. I'm saved by the grace of God. Sometime God has to chasten this. Chasten me? No chastening before the present seems to be very joyous, but sometime God has to do that. To bring us back into conformity with the Word of God and into fellowship with Him. And why take such encouragement? First of all, because God demanded it. God said, look unto me. God demanded it. My dad was born in Germany. Boy, he was 6'2 or so, all muscles. Tell you, when he walked into the room, you knew he was there. When he said, go milk the cow, he rushed out the back door and milked the cow. He didn't ask any questions. I said, go gather eggs out in the hen house. And no questions. We respected him for who he is, not just because of building, strength, and tall, but because he's my father, earthly father. But I respect Jesus Christ for who he is this morning. I respect him for who he is this morning. And I think of his Godhead. He said, well, why should I ask? Well, I'm God. I'm God. And I'm glad God is able to do all things to those that ask and believe. Just ask in faith, believing, and God said he would do it. Isn't that a marvel? This is the God we serve. And you could go on and on. When I think of his character, all that the human race is made of, and yet he's compassionate, he's tender, he's merciful. I like going through the gospel writings, and every time you see blind people on the streets begging and pleading, the word said that Jesus stopped. He had compassion on them. One man by the well couldn't get up and walk anymore. He had compassion on them. Over and over again, he stopped and saw the need. What do you need? I like the statement over and over again. The word said that Jesus just simply had compassion on them. He's a compassionate, tender Savior this morning. Where would you be without him? I'm glad for Christ this morning. The writer said in Corinthians that now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. The writer said, look unto me and be ye saved. I mentioned earlier this morning an individual that, you know, hell hath enlarged itself. Many going into eternity without Jesus Christ. Boy, I pray if you don't know Christ as Savior this morning, come up and let us pray for you. Amen. Now is the accepted time. And we just go so rapidly. Look at my son. He retired from the federal prison this a couple of months ago, age of 50. I said, oh, Lord, where did all the years go? I'm glad I'm as old as I am. So I said, well, wouldn't you want to be a teenager again?
No.
I'm glad I'm as old as I am because I'm just about ready to see Jesus face to face. I hope he calls me home before the plane ever lands in Kansas City. There'll be one less passenger. I don't mind this. Somebody said, well, the golden years. Oh, the golden years because I have Christ. But I'm ready to go. How about you? Take it literally and go to God. Whatever your needs may be, physical, financial, spiritual, whatever they may be, God said, look unto me and be saved and delivered.